Bible's got a lot of neat stuff in it. Deuteronomy 31, the Lord's brought them out, you know, out of the land of Egypt and everything, and God's delivered them, and He's warning them about some things, you know. In Deuteronomy 28, if you want to really see God, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. God warns them over and over and over. And of course, they get away from the Lord all over the place. You know, they get mad and whine, just like we do. I mean, I see myself and the children of Israel. But He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 19. He says this, and now therefore write ye this song for you. And God, He told them, He said, I want you to write this song down and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And you know what a song is? It's a witness. That's what it is. Look at dude, come down to verse 21. He said this, and it come to pass when many evils and troubles have befallen them that the song shall testify. A song's a testimony is what they are. Against them is a witness, and it shall be not forgotten out of the mouth of the sea. For I know their imagination which they go about even now, before I brought them into the land which I swear. And I just want to preach a few minutes tonight on the witness of a song. But when I love to sing, now I can't sing worth a toot. I know that. I mean, I'm not totally tone deaf. I know I can't sing, but I still have a song. Amen. I like what Brother Bunk said the other Thursday night. He was talking about Chris. Chris got up there and sung. And Brother Bunk said, he said, if I could sing like Chris, I'd just sing every sermon I had. I would too. I mean, if I could sing like he sing like a bird, man, I'd just get up here. I've heard some of these black preachers sing, you know. But I can't sing. I don't have a voice. I don't have much of a voice tonight, even for preaching. It's giving me a hard time. But I'm going to say a song's a witness. The word witness means a testimony, attestation of a fact or event. It's a testimony, and it's that which furnishes evidence or proof. Every song you've ever heard, saved or lost, well, before in the world, every song is a witness to something. The word music comes from the word muse. And the word muse means to think. It means what's in your heart. Psalm 143 verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all their works. And it said, I muse on the works of thy hand. Luke chapter 3 verse 15, it said to the people were in expectation. And all the men muse in their hearts of John. Muse means what you think. It's where the word music comes. Listen, the largest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. You know what Psalms is? It's songs to the Lord. That's what it is. And when God wrote the largest book in the whole Bible, it's songs to God. Because there's the witness of a song. Songs tell the story. Martin Luther said this, next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. We see the witness of the song of the world. You know what the number one song in rock music is? In all the history of rock music, Rolling Stones came up years ago with the number one song in rock music. It was a song by the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction. Thank you, Brother Ben. I can't get no satisfaction. I mean, that's a testimony of the world, isn't it? I mean, before I got saved, I can tell you, I testimony that I couldn't get no satisfaction. Maybe this will help. Man, that was good. I'm a water guy. I like water. And I want to give you a few things about that tonight, just the witness of a song. And I want to say it from a Christian standpoint. Take your Bible, took her Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. But, Valerie, I could sure use some popcorn right now. I'm already thinking about that Burger King Whopper. Ben gets that double. He gets that double whopper. Psalm chapter 40. I'm preaching on the witness of a song. Number one, Psalm chapter 40 says this. I love this. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says this. David writes, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Talking about salvation to you and I. Out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock. That's the Lord Jesus. And established my goings. And He said this, the first thing God does when He saved you, He put a new song in my mouth. I want to say there's a witness of a song. It's a witness tonight that I'm saved. If God saves you, there ought to be a song in your mouth. It ought to come out of your heart. You ought to have something to sing about. If you've been saved, I want to say the witness of a song. It's a witness tonight that I'm saved. That I've got something tonight. If you're saved, you ought to have a song. And it ought to be in your mouth. It ought to come out. Brother Robert Mills, you come here some. I sure would like to round him up again. I've round him up so many times through the years and set him down. He hangs around a month or two and rambles off. But he's a blessing to me. I've known him for years and years. But Brother Robert, he likes all those instruments. He played a ukulele, remember that? I got the blues since 1971, before 72. Remember he wrote that song and he got saved. Plays those accordions and harmonicas. And it's so funny. I never forget it. I've known him all my life. He used to live right behind me. His parents did. And I didn't know he's older than me. His nephew led me to the Lord, Randy Mills. But I knew Robert well back then. We were all lost back in those days. And of course, he's quite a bit older than I am. You know, he's in his 70s, you know, kind of deal. And back then, you know, if you're 2 years older than somebody, you know, you don't hang around, you know, back then. When you're 10 or 15, you're down, it doesn't matter that much. I got friends, you know, Dot's 82 years old. He seems like a young guy now. But back in those days, if you're 15, you don't hang around 16-year-olds. If you're 15, you sure don't hang around 14. But Brother Robert lived behind me. He is a wild guy. He is in organized crime. When they got saved, they had him for 48 counts of grand larceny. And he's going up the river for quite a few years. And they had a whole full page ad in a paper one time about his testimony. My daddy knew him well too, because he lived behind us. And my daddy called me one day and said, "You got the paper?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Open it up, look over here, and there's a testimony of a lawyer." And that lawyer in there said, they asked him, and that lawyer, they said, "Has there ever been any real blessings or anything special in your life?" This lawyer was retired. He's talking. He said, "There was one thing." He said, "There's one big moment in my life." He said, "This one fella, he said, I was representing him in court. And he got saved, became a Christian, became a preacher. And he said, I went on the lam for him and got him out of prison." He said, "I look back at my life for that one event that I did." My daddy called. He said, "You know who that was?" I said, "Who?" He said, "That was old Robert Mills he's talking about." I said, "You're right." That's where he was. But old Robert, before he got saved, he didn't play nothing. And I was sitting one night at Fellowship Baptist Church over there in Gadsden Highway years ago, been about 35 years ago probably. And Robert came in. I was a youth pastor over there at the time, Brother Norris. And me and Brother Robert, we'd been out straight preaching that day at the dog track. So after we got through preaching, I said, "Come on over to our church." And he brought his accordion in there and he got up there and played. And his mother came there. I knew his mother well too. And she sat beside him, "Miss Martha." And Brother Robert was up there playing that accordion on the thing and he was singing, you know, like he does. And his mother looked at me. She said, "I know Robert got saved." She said, "Before he got saved, he couldn't even whistle." I told her, I said, "Before he got saved, he didn't have nothing to whistle about." Amen. I want to tell you, when you get saved, you know what happened? God puts a new song in you. And I want to say that new song is a witness. The witness of the song that I'm saved tonight. I got a song. That old song says, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet love." I didn't say I had a good voice. It said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Listen, if God had to judge me by how good I could sing, I wouldn't be saved today. I'd be lost as a goose, Brother Ben. He don't judge me by that. He said, "Make a joyful noise." It said, "Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." I know I'm saved. God put a new song in my heart, brother. And I love it, man. I don't have a voice. But brother, I got a song. Brother Roloff, he'd get on the radio, and I love Brother Roloff. Went home to be with the Lord in 1982. Oh man, what a man of God he was. And he'd sing on there, and he'd sing out, you know, and boy, he wouldn't hold back. He'd let her rip. And I remember he was reading his mail one day, and this lady said, "Brother Roloff," she said, "I wish you'd quit singing." She said, "When you're singing," she said, "my dogs start howling." She said, "They start howling, all the dogs in the neighborhood start howling." She said, "When you get singing, the whole neighborhood dogs is howling." And he wrote her back, he said, "Listen, lady, I wasn't singing your dogs, I was singing to the Lord." Amen. Hey, let the dogs howl, Brother Ben. Let old Stinky go. When the roll is called up yonder, amen, let her go, brother. I want to say there's a witness of the song that I'm saved today. I got something. I want to say there's a witness of the song that I'm saved. Not only that, it's a witness that I'm saved. I want to say tonight it's a witness that I'm in the Scriptures. Take your Bible, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. I want to say that song's a witness that I'm in the Scriptures. Not only a witness that I'm saved, but it's a witness that I've been in the Scriptures. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 says this. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you and richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with your heart to the grace with your hearts to the Lord." I said it's a witness that I'm in the Scriptures, but I misquoted that. It's a witness not that I'm in the Scriptures, but that the Scriptures are in me. Look at that verse said. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell in you richly, teaching and speaking one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart with the Lord. Hey, you know what that song is? It's a witness inside me is the word of God. David said one time, "Thy word that I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Brother, you get the Bible in you. I tell you, some days, what I do when I get up every morning, I get me a cup of coffee and I got my little routine. I'm autistic when it comes to that. Autism, they get in their little routines. Sarah Lee gets in her routine. You know what she does at 9 o'clock every night? What do you do at 9 o'clock? She goes see her dog. If it's 9:01, I'll go in their bed. A lot of times she's in the bedroom watching TV. I go, "It's 9:01. And she'll go, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." And she'll start heading out. If it's 1 after 9, she doesn't miss it, see? She got her little routine of the things she does. In the morning I get up and drink my cup of coffee. And I pray to the Lord and I read my Bible a little bit. And then right now, now that I go around the park and I get the Word of God in me and I walk around the park working on sermons and singing songs to myself. I mean, if you ever see me at the park walking around, you'll see my mouth moving probably. You'll say, "There's that old kook singing to the Lord." That old kook, he hadn't got a bit of sense. He's out there singing to the Lord. Hey, I have the best time just singing and talking to God. I tell you, the Word of God gets in me, brother, and something wants to come out. And I just sing to Him. I have some good concerts by myself, brother, being out there. I want to say it's a witness that I'm saved. It's a witness tonight that I'm in the Scriptures. You know, Fanny Crosby wrote 9,000 hymns. We sung two or three today. You can't hardly pick the Green Book up without picking a few Fanny Crosby's. I mean, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. You know, she wrote 9,000 hymns. I was reading her autobiography. I copied it out of it here tonight. Read it to you. When she is 11 years old, this was a blind girl. Now listen, she couldn't read Braille. She never learned Braille. She said this, "Miss Hawley, a kind Christian lady in whose house we resided and who had no children of her own, became deeply interested in me. And under her supervision, I acquired a thorough knowledge of the Bible. She gave me a number of chapters each week to learn, sometimes as many as 5. And so at the end of the first 12 months, I had memorized a large portion of the first 4 books of the Old Testament and the first 4 Gospels of the New Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John." She memorized those. Hey, no wonder she wrote 9,000 hymns. Brother, I want to tell you, because the Scripture was inside of her. I want to say that song is a witness that inside me is the Scriptures. No wonder she wrote 9,000 hymns. I want to say it's a witness. That song's a witness and I'm saved. It's a witness that the Word of God is in me. The Scripture is in me. I tell you, it's a witness. It's a witness tonight. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm doing good, man. I'm at 15 minutes and I'm third through with this message, man. I'm cooking long tonight, Brother Ben. That whopper sounding good. I want to say it's a witness that I'm saved. It's a witness that the Scriptures are dwelling in me. And I want to say Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says this, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Any wine is in excess. I told you what that meant. "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." I want to say that song of the Lord, it's a witness that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. You know what happens when the Holy Spirit gets out of you, gets inside you? You know what you like to do? You like to sing. Just like an old drunk. You ever been around an old drunk? You know what they like to do? Hell, tell your mama, I had a good time. I remember my daddy one time, I had to go pick him up at the emergency room. He would have some of his drunken buddies. I was mad too. He got mad at me for being mad at him. But he was over at UAB and they dumped him off the emergency room. He called me to come get him. And I go in the emergency room, I hear him in there singing loud as he could go. I told that nurse, I said, I'm so sorry. You know what? When God gets hold of you like that, that's what it said, be not drunk in wine, where is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit of God. Over there in Acts chapter 2, they're out there on the day of Pentecost, and they said, hey, those guys up there, they're drunk. Remember that? I tell you, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, getting a song service, you don't care what's going on. You're just like that old drunk out there, you're just singing with the top of your voice, letting God have it. There's a witness of the song. It's a witness that we're filled with the Spirit of God. Man, I've been in some services, man. I'm telling you, brother, God just moves in. We've had a few here. We've had a few Thursday night services, man. I'm telling you, where we just let her rip. It didn't matter what was going on. We were just singing the top of our voices. They may be 10, there might be 5. But I'm telling you, God just would move in. And you could just feel the Holy Ghost of God showing up in that thing. There's just a spirit that moves in. We were down at PBI, down at Bible Baptist, went to Bible school. And that place would get crazy now. I mean crazy. And they have a New Year's service, a New Year's watch night. And we'd go to 3 or 4 in the morning. We'd start about 8. And they'd call preachers up there to preach. And they had singers. They had about 500 crazy people in there, man. They're just shouting and running the bases and getting happy with God. And I remember I was working at the hospital one time at Baptist. Catholic Hospital. Sacred Heart. I want to say St. Vincent. Sacred Heart Hospital. And those guys I worked with, they were kind of kidding me. You know, they knew I went to Bible school as a preacher and everything. And they were kidding me. One of them said, hey, old Johnny, he said, hey, you going out tonight? New Year's night, you going to do some partying? I said, man, am I going to do some partying? I said, you wouldn't know what kind of party I'm doing. He started laughing. He said, you serious? I said, I'm serious. We're going to have a watch night service. And I said, I'll be drunk as a skunk about 2 o'clock this morning. He said, what? I said, I'll be drunk as a skunk on the Holy Spirit of God, man. I said, that thing will get so good. You know what, brother? I want to say the witness of the song that the Spirit of God will get into you, brother. And boy, you just let it rip. You don't care. Years ago, we had a church in our house. And I'll never forget this. There's some things God gives you. He just gives you some blessings along the way. Just helps you, Brother Chris. And He puts them back there like that song, Precious Memories, How They Linger. And this is one of them that was precious to me. In our church, in the house, we had a good crowd every week, man. And it was a blast. One Sunday, we had 9 adults saved. 9 of them came in the altar. I mean, God moved in that thing, man. People were crying and shouting. And I'm telling you, brother, God showed up. And had a little boy that we've been praying for. He's 14 years old. He was 11 years old. His sister was 14, committed suicide. And we've been praying for his mother. This one, she had 2 brothers. They were both twins. One of them got saved. One of them didn't. The mother couldn't get saved. The mother was mad at God. And that day, Christy Nichols got saved. She came down that altar and got saved. The mother did. And that young boy, 11 years old, came down there and got saved. And I'm telling you, God blew up in that place, man. And old David Beard, he led him to the Lord. And old David Beard was crying, and he was crying, that little 11-year-old. They were both crying and weeping. God has showed up. Brother David said, Brother Terry, we want to sing a song. And Brother David can't sing. He makes me sound like Chris. He's that bad, man. He can't even turn the radio on, man. He's terrible. But he said, Brother Terry, we want to sing a song. And they got up behind the pulpit, him and that 11-year-old little boy. And man, they sung to the top of their lungs, Miss Martha. Brother, they were singing a cappella. Oh, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. And I'm telling you, God was all over that place. What are you trying to say? I'm going to say there's a witness of the song that the Spirit of God is in it, man. And boy, it gets good. I want to say it's a witness that I'm saved. I want to say tonight, Take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 28. Down to 20 minutes. Psalm 28. I got 3 points left, but I'm going to do two. Psalm chapter 28. It's a witness that I'm saved. It's a witness that the Scriptures are in me. It's a witness that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God is living. It's a witness. I'll tell you something else. That song that God gave me, that witness of the song, it's a witness to my strength. Look at Psalms 28, verse 7. It says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts with Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song I'll praise Him." It's a witness of my strength and my shield in the Lord. Look at Psalms 118. Psalms 118. I want to say that song's a witness to my strength in the Lord. Psalms 118, verse 14 says this. Psalms 118, 14 says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation." I want to say God's witness of the song is the strength I've got in God. He is my strength. He is my song tonight. Isaiah chapter 12, 2 said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song." God is my strength and my song, and they go together. If you lose your song and lose that new song that God gave you, I want to tell you, you'll lose your strength in the Lord. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you lose that song, you'll lose that joy. "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy," Psalm 67. Isaiah 52, 9, "Break forth unto joy, sing together. Behold, my servants that sing for joy." I want to say that witness of the soul, it's a witness to my strength and my joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I got something. I got something when I got saved. I got a new song. It's a witness of my salvation. I want to say it's a witness tonight that the Scriptures are in me. It's a witness that the Spirit of God is in me. It's a witness to my strength. I got a message. Don't let them take your song. Because you know what the world will try to do? You know what other Christians will try to do? They'll try to take that new song from you. Oh, there in Psalms 137, read about there by the rivers of Babylon. I preached about that a while back. There we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows, and they carried us away, required us a song, and wasted us with myrrh, and said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" We're in a strange land, brethren. And I want to tell you, they'll want you to take that song and put your hearts on the willows. But I want to say that song is a witness to the strength that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my strength and my song. And I want to say tonight, not only that, He's a witness that I'm saved. He put a new song in my mouth. He's a witness tonight that the Spirit of God lives in. He's a witness tonight that the Scriptures, the Word of God, shall dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It's a witness tonight. Not only that, take your Bible. Turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. It's not only a witness to that. It's a witness tonight that I'm satisfied. That I'm satisfied. I don't know about you, brethren, but I'm telling you, I'm satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved for 43 years, and I'm satisfied with Him. John, James chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." That's good advice. "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." You know why the witness of the song, why these ladies get up and sing, and Brother Chris gets up and sing, and some of these people that come through, and Brother Billy, you know what it's a witness is? It's a witness that they're satisfied with what God gave them, brethren. "Is any of you merry? Let him sing psalms." I want to say the witness of the song, the witness that we're satisfied. That song, it says, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow and I know He watches me." That's the witness that I'm satisfied tonight. You and I, we can't even comprehend it. It says, "The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, we sing these songs. We sung a few tonight. A lot of those songs are hymns and songs of messages. messages that went, people that went through some terrible ordeals in their life, and yet they're singing these songs, and that song, despite their circumstances, despite the heartache, despite the trouble, despite the pain, they're satisfied with the Lord. That song, "It Is Well With My Soul," Horatio Spafford wrote that song. And you know the story, how his wife and four children were on a ship and they were going to meet for a vacation over the Atlantic. And that ship went down. He got that letter from his wife and it just said, "Saved, but alone." All four of his children drowned, and he went there with it. Well, ship went down, and God gave him that song. And despite all the problems, you know what the witness of the song is? That I'm satisfied with the Lord. It is well with my soul. Despite the fact that those four daughters of his, there were four girls that drowned that day. See, Austin Miles, they wrote that song, "I Come to the Garden Alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses." That man was that wrote that, I told you, down in the old wet basement, laid in the bed. Most of his life he laid in the bed, crippled. And yet he wrote that song. And you think that guy sitting in the garden, walking through a garden, that man's laying on a bed, bedridden. You say, why? He's satisfied. The witness of the song, "I'm satisfied." Think of that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Louisa Stead wrote that song. I told you how that her husband drowned. He's a rich banker. And she had it made, wealthy lady, over in New York. Her husband drowned. And her and her daughter Lily, after that, became so poor they became homeless and lived on the streets. And somebody gave her a gross sack of groceries there on the street. And God gave her that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord." You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, those people were satisfied. Despite all the problems, that witness of the song, when you read over there, they're satisfied. You know what this world sings? The most popular song, the Rolling Stones, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." That was my song before I got saved too, by the way. That was what I sung, Brother Chris. That was the music. The Bible said it was a song of fools is what it was. I remember before I got saved, I played rock music for years and all that stuff. And there's one song I used to play all the time, Brother Chris. And it was an acoustic song. I'd sit with my acoustic guitar in the bedroom, half out of my mind. And I'd play that old song. And that song was by Edgar Winter's troupe. And it said, the words were this. "If I'm dying," he said, "if I'm just living to die, why am I dying to live?" What a testimony. "If I'm just living to die, why am I dying to live?" And that was my whole life, man. I mean, what was there to live for? Hey, man, if I'm just living this life, they're going to ground. If I'm just going to die, what's the whole point of it? There was no satisfaction till I met Jesus Christ, brethren. In 1975, 43 years ago, July the 30th, 1975, and I've heard Brother Chris give his testimony. Well, I'm telling you, man, when I got off my knees that night, Pleasant Grove, Alabama, Miss Liz, I knew right then the bucket stopped here. I didn't know anything, but I knew something had happened to me, and I knew I would never, never search again. I knew I'd found what I was looking for, Miss Martha. And I hadn't changed a bit. I'm more convinced today than I was yesterday. And I want to say this morning, I'm satisfied with Jesus Christ. That old song says, "All my life long I panted for a drought from some cool spring that I hope would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah! I found Him who my soul so longer craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. And through His blood, I now am saved." There's a witness of the song that I'm satisfied with.